Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Black Power, brothers and sisters, as you know, it's Wednesday night. We're going to be doing an update, as we do every Wednesday, from the Your Amenity Project in regards to what's really going on with the COVID. Listen up.
Test for some common bacteria that's in everybody's nose. And then the PCR test was calibrated to the common cold virus because they never could produce an actual laboratory specimen to calibrate these instruments too. So diagnosis is a problem and has been and still is. But you know what the good news is where that's concerned? It doesn't matter because it turns out that the people who had the real COVID-19 virus really had the common cold virus, and it means that they had a 99.9% recovery rate. Now with this hemorrhagic fever coming down the pike that they're warning us about, is it Ebola? Is it Lassa? Is it Hanta? We don't know yet. We don't know if it's even here yet, although there's a case in England. And there were some Ebola cases reported in Chicago. And so we don't know yet. But we know how to prevent it with the tax immune. And so the third principle, of course, is treatment. And again, the Pax Immune comes in with glowing colors, and it's available. That's the number one thing. People talk about ivermectin all they want to, but you can't get it. People can talk about hydrochloroquine all you want, but you can't get it. If you could get it, it would be a good thing. If you know how to use it, if you're a professional health provider and you know how to use prescription medications correctly and safely, but you can't get it. And even if you could get it, doctors are under so much pressure nowadays, if you try to prescribe that, you get in trouble. But the Pax Immune is available, and more on that later in the program. And the Pax Immune is 100% effective in not just preventing the spread, but also in treating most cases of viral infections, unless they're the point of no return has already been reached. And there is a point of no return. Now, why is that? Why is there a point of no return? Well, it's because what is the Pax Immune? The Pax Immune is alpha interferon. And it's sold as a dietary supplement because it's feeding the immune system. But now imagine this. Suppose somebody's immune system is so degraded, there's no immune system left to feed. That's the point of no return. So don't get there. Now, people who have gotten the jab, they are experiencing a 5% loss of immune function per week. And that's according to research documents. So that means they are developing a syndrome that is synonymous with AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Yeah, from 30 years ago, we're talking about the same thing. And if you take the HIV test, it will come back positive. I'm talking about people who got the jab. And it's real. They'll say it's a false positive. No, the spike protein is what caused the AIDS virus to destroy the immune system, and the spike protein is what your body is producing when you get the jab. So vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency syndrome is real AIDS. It's not a false positive. It's just not caused by a virus. That's what they mean. The HIV virus isn't there. It doesn't have to be there. The spike protein is there. And then, of course, the fourth principle is research. We're going to hear from our research team later today, this evening. We are in the middle of a research project. Hopefully, we'll have a report out of the first phase of our research, because we can't trust the CDC, can we? You know that. You can't trust what the FDA says nowadays. As a matter of fact, the FDA doesn't even have a commissioner. There's nobody in charge down there. They never replaced the one from the previous administration. There's nobody in charge. And then some of the top people who were left over, they resigned. So who's down there? You don't even know. You don't even know. And so we're doing our own research because we have to establish the truth. We hear about certain things. We want to verify whether it's true or not. Some doctor in Spain said that you could detect whether somebody got the shot with the Bluetooth app on your phone. And we found out that that's true because we did a little impromptu research. We just got some volunteers, and they went out with their cell phones, and they found out, yeah, people who got the shot somehow or other are emitting a signal that gets picked up on Bluetooth. So that means your cell phone itself can act as a scanning device. So before you go into a store or into a church or a mosque or some public gathering, you can scan the place. And you're 20, 30, 40 feet away. And you'll pick up any signal, and you'll know whether it's safe to go in or not, or whether it's safe for someone to come into your private space. You can scan them outside the door. That's what I do. You see, so again, the research pays off in a lot of different ways. And, of course, we also are expecting to be able to develop our own COVID-19 passport, so-called. Since they have one, why shouldn't we have our own? So that's what we're developing. And then, of course, the educational principle, the fifth principle, is what you're experiencing right now. That's all we do on the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. We educate one another. We talk about everything. And that's where I have to give a disclaimer, because we do talk about everything, but we're not giving our professional medical advice or legal advice or financial advice. We're just chewing over the truth as we understand it to be. And we're going to ask questions, and we're going to pursue this avenue and that avenue. And what we always tell people who tune into the Your Immunity Project, listen to everything. Yeah, listen to me. You know, listen to everybody, but then think for yourself. That's the name of this game. You got to think for yourself. So thank you for tuning in. You're in the right place. You did not make a mistake. By now, you should have called somebody and invited them in so that they can also take in this information that is really pretty much unavailable anyplace else. We try to condense it all down into a summary form. You can find bits and pieces everywhere, but where do you find it all brought together in one place at one time? Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. So thank you for being here. So Sister Najma, do we have our research team on the line?
Yes, they're on. Dr. Nadia says she didn't have a report. I'm not sure about Brother Dawood.
Okay. So Brother Dawood, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me now?
Yes, loud and clear. Go ahead.
I think I have a double echo.
We're not hearing that here.
Okay, wonderful. So, yeah, Dr. Nadia won't join us today. A little bit of an update, some of the regular announcements. First and foremost, anyone that would like to participate in the clinical trial surveys that we are carrying out so that we can capture observational data as well as other data as we move forward on those who have used Paximmune and its effect, your observations of it, as well as those who have had any form of vaccine and what the effect has been based on your observations. And in those of us who have had nothing. So we completed the first phase of the clinical trials and closed that out. And now we will start the second phase of the clinical trials, and we invite everybody to sign up and participate. You'll sign up at www.yourimmunityproject.org, www.yourimmunityproject.org. You'll go through the process there, read and sign the consent form. It's very simple. At that point, you'll receive an email with further instructions so that you can download an app to either your Android device or Apple device, and you'll receive surveys as they become available. Complete the surveys, all questions we ask. Every question has an option, even if it's not applicable to you. Complete all questions so that all the data is captured properly, and then you can take that into account. I also mentioned Dr. Aline, Dr. Nadia did say that the draft that she put forward with the phase two questions, that's ready to go. So she's given us the go-ahead to start to build that in and enter it into the software. We'll complete that this week. And upon your instruction, you can let us know when we release it to the public so that it shows up on everyone's app to start completing.
Okay.
So with that said, we also have the clinical trial pass that we want to bring forward. There's still one or two items that will button up with that, and it really has to do with the language that the clinical trial pass will reference back to. So it captures and states all the information correct and accurate. That it is a clinical trial under a physician, and we can go ahead and activate that and put that forward as well.
Okay.
That's all I have to announce. Thank you very much.
Okay. So now, Brother Dawood, you used the term clinical trial pass. Now, that's the same as what I refer to as a COVID-19 passport. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yes. So don't get confused. We're talking, when you enroll in a clinical trial, just so you're clear about it, And that's what this is that we're talking about here, the Your Immunity Project clinical trial, then you are exempt from being involved in any other clinical trial. You know, that would break all scientific protocols. And so you will have on your phone, an app that will indicate that you in fact are a participant in the Your Immunity Project clinical trial. And therefore, you're free to go. They can't bother you and have you get in some other clinical trial. They don't tell you, see, it's all about the language. See, they don't tell it to you like this. But when you get that mRNA injection, you are a participant in an experimental clinical trial. Remember, that shot can only be administered under an emergency use authorization. That means it's experimental. And you don't have to take my word for it. Go ask the insurance companies. They're stopping payment on people who die from complications of the shot, saying that you were a guinea pig in a human clinical trial, in an experiment. And therefore, we don't have to pay off because that was not a part of our agreement when you signed up with this life insurance policy. So a lot of the insurance companies are not paying off for that very reason. So don't sleep the significance of this clinical research pass or COVID-19 passport, whatever term you want to use. So thank you, Brother Dawood, and the research team for excellent work continuing week after week. It's very difficult, very tedious to do this kind of thing. And you have to do it exactly correct. There's no room for error. And so sometimes things take a little longer than you might think they should. But on the other hand, you want it to be correct because you just have to go back and clean it up later if you don't get it right the first time. Now, things seem to be shaping up. Perhaps we'll have a report ready for publication and announcement somewhere around the end of the month, which is where's Savior's Day, February the 26th is the actual Savior's Day. So I'm thinking maybe around that time, maybe on the 26th or around the 26th, we'll be ready to make the announcement about our research findings and make a presentation. You know, a public presentation of what our findings are. So thank you, Brother Dawood. Now, moving along, we have reports from all over the world. I put a call out to Curtis Koss from the Children's Health Defense Fund. I don't know if he made it on the call. He gave a presentation, as some of you might remember from last week, the governor of New York, Governor Hochul, whatever her name is, Hochul, she issued a regulation that went into effect yesterday that gives her the authority to arrest anyone that she says represents a public health threat. She can detain you indefinitely. And so I don't know if anything changed since last week. So if Curtis Koss or someone from New York is on the line, we'd like to hear what the follow-up is. And also, is Brother Ruben from Australia, is he on the line? We always like to hear from abroad, especially Australia. They seem to be a little bit in advance in terms of this agenda that's unfolding globally. What's going on in Australia today will be in the U.S. and Europe and other parts of the world tomorrow. There he is. There's Brother Ruben.
That's correct. Well, alaikum salam, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thanks to Allah.
Well, all praise is due to Allah. I've just rushed in very quickly, and I'm going to give my report. I'm not going to be long, but I did want everybody to know that many interesting things are going on here in Australia right now, actually. We talked about the case with the tennis player, Novak Djokovic, and if you just go online and read the full report for you, he gave, actually, listen to his words. It's a short clip on the BBC. So if you go on your search engine, Google, you'll be able to see exactly what he said, because he simply said he's willing to give up winning any more titles, being the greatest of all time, and all of those other things that come with him being the number one player in the world. And if he's made to, you know, if he cannot play because he's not vaccinated. Well, literally an hour ago, Dr. Lim, as I was driving, it came across on the wire that the people over in England, Wimbledon, they have now said that they will actually not ban him from playing. So it brings to mind something we have learned in the Holy Quran, where Allah tells us that if you resist the devil, then he will flee from you.
He will flee.
That's right. So since he gave that public address yesterday, and it's only a few minutes of the BBC clip that you need to watch, he's very clear on why, and, you know, it's his body, it's his choice. Kind of similar thing to what some of the laws are here in America going about, my body, my choice for women, et cetera. And you know, he gives a good explanation. So listen to his own words to better understand exactly what he's saying. And so now, of course, Wimbledon has said, you know, they will not ban him from playing. We'll see what the French Open do and, of course, what the United States does as well. So they're learning that many people are saying no. Even the world's best are saying no. Most did say yes. However, many are saying no right now. Here in Australia as well, they're in the process currently of redefining the definitions in the law about what it means to be fully vaccinated. They're still pushing for three jabs, so two is not enough anymore. As they've given a date, especially for parents who have children in school or who go to sporting events, March the 15th is a deadline for all parents to have three jabs or you're not welcome anymore. So those of us who are not vaccinated, of course, we're not welcome at all anyway. So you know, it's an interesting time here in Australia. And the other thing as well, Dr. Lim, they're also trying to redefine the medical language of vaccination here. What I mean by that is that instead of using even the term vaccination anymore, we have a schedule. We actually have a vaccination schedule here. You know, at 6 months, you get this shot, at 12 months, et cetera, et cetera. They're trying to include the three jabs as part of your vaccination schedule officially by law. So that way, the language now they're asking you when you go into a hospital is, are you up to date with your vaccinations? So, that is very cleverly disguising that, of course, if you haven't had your three jabs, you're not up to date. So hence, you're not allowed to do a ton of things already that we've talked about on previous shows here. Here in Parliament in Australia as well, we've been watching the convoy in Canada with the Freedom Convoy, they're calling it, and what's going on there with the emergency powers and other things. Go online and stay up to date with that, because there's so much to cover there. We cannot do it in a few minutes. But there's been similar protests around the world, even here in Australia, where the people surrounded the Parliament House about a week ago. It's been going on for a few weeks now. Even the door of Parliament House got burnt down here in Australia. They're not showing that on television, except to, you know, these are some, you know, they call them right-wing people and other things, but really it's parents and children and, you know, they're camping out there. So they passed laws to move them along. The police have moved in to arrest them and take them out of the place. And these are public grounds that they're in. So they're not actually in, you know, breaking any laws as such. You are allowed to go on those grounds. So these things are going on as we speak. And one other thing they're trying to work their way around here is school started about 2 weeks ago, I believe, about 2.5 weeks ago here in Australia, the new school year. The idea was to have all the children vaccinated by the end of January. That didn't happen. Last week's show, we talked about it, they're up to 51% of children vaccinated between 5 and 12 right now. It's only gone up by 2% this week. So there's a lot of concern on their strategies are not working, because only 53%, they're supposed to be almost 100% by now, similar to the adults who are at 96 or more percent right now. So that we expect to see a lot more a lot more harsh campaigns coming in. They've realized giving you an ice cream and money and lottery and all of that stuff doesn't work, giving you a beer. So I'm not sure what they're going to do, but we'll wait to see. Perhaps by next week, they'll have put on some really harsh measures to give even further deadlines, because 2% in 1 week is not what they had in mind. They expected it to be around the 70 or 80% of the children jabbed by now. So it shows that parents are concerned. However, even though they're rolling up their sleeves for the third jab here is already up to about 50% for the adults. But for their children, I think they're being a little bit wary as well. So we'll keep our eyes on the news here in Australia. And of course, there's been plenty of weather events. I know it's not kind of COVID related, but together with the lack of workers and lack of truck drivers, and now there's the harvest is not even there anymore in many states, because we got very heavy rains, almost a year's worth of rain in 1 to 3 days in some states. So basically it washed away some of the crop and washed away not just the topsoil, but if you go online and see some of the pictures, it literally eroded the farmland. It's going to take years for some of these farmland to be productive again. So that's kind of not COVID related, but it is part of what, you know, we're going to have to deal with in order to keep our health and nutrition up to survive what is coming up ahead. So thank you, Dr. Lehman. I'll be available for any questions. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. That's Brother Ruben Muhammad from Melbourne, Australia, giving us an update from that part of the world. And you see, this is a global situation, and what's going on there will soon be taking place everywhere. Let's, Sister Najma, if we could begin with our headlines the week and news items as quickly as we can, and then we'll open up, as we always do at the end, for questions or comments, testimonials, special reports that anybody wants to give, announcements. Yeah. Again, you might think this is not COVID related, but it is. You see, what is NATO? NATO is a military alliance in Europe. And the military alliance, of course, is composed of soldiers. And I don't know about in other countries in Europe, but I know in the United States, thousands, tens of thousands of soldiers in all of the branches of the military are being discharged. So what assurance is that for military readiness to NATO allies? Next image, please. But not to worry. Don't worry. Look who's been dispatched to Europe. We have Kamala Harris, the vice president. She's going to attend a conference in Munich, Germany, to rally the European allies to defuse the Ukrainian crisis. And of course, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, he's going to Belgium and Lithuania and Poland to reassure the European allies that America has their back. Now, I know this is Black History Month, you know, but this has to be historic, where the people going to rescue Europe are two Black people from America. Imagine that. Who would have thought it? Next image, please. Now, blow this up, please. This is important. Will hemorrhagic fever be the next pandemic? Now, this was reported maybe 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago in the Your Immunity Project, that there was an outbreak of an undisclosed hemorrhagic fever in China. That was in January. And I reminded everybody that it was in January 2 years ago that we had the outbreak of COVID-19 in Wuhan, China. And so now people are wondering whether or not a hemorrhagic fever is going to be the next pandemic that sweeps the world. Now, this is important because unlike the recovery rate of COVID-19, which was over 99%, depending on which particular hemorrhagic fever virus we're talking about, whether it's Ebola or Lassa or Hanta, we're talking about a mortality rate of 30, 40, 50%. And that's a gruesome picture there in the middle. But that's what you're talking about. You're talking about a virus that causes bleeding throughout the body and is rapidly fatal. Now, Paxlovid is pictured here because you better have that on hand. Whatever virus is coming down the pike, you want to have your Paxlovid available before it gets here. Next image, please. The Paximian is on the way. I forgot to announce that. How could I forget that? How could I forget to announce that? Yeah, the truck is on the way. I just found that out about an hour before we came on the air. Yeah, the truck is on the way. So if you placed your order for Paximune, then you should be getting that in the next 10 days to 14 days. Also, the good news is the website that was down is now back up. So you can safely place your orders. We have been under constant attack, as you might imagine, everywhere. And so that just goes without saying. So don't think that just because we're even showing this Zoom presentation tonight, don't think that it's an easy job to do it. And my respect to all of those who struggle to keep us up. And it is a struggle. They don't want this information to get out. Now look at this. You see, psychological damage from pandemic lockdowns could last a generation. You better believe it. Do you know what happens to a child who misses a year or two of school? And here we have a whole generation that has missed 2 years of school, regular schooling, regular education, regular socialization. So that's going to have a lifelong impact on our young people. And so we need to actually do what we're doing, if for no other reason, is to free our children so that they don't suffer this psychological damage that Dr. Malone introduced the term of vaccine-induced mass formation psychosis. And so is it affecting you? Is it affecting your children? Is it affecting your coworkers? Next image, please. Don't think you're immune to the stress that's affecting everybody else. Look at this. Coronavirus is the natural disease of parasites. Yeah, see, that's actually true. In nature, where would you go to find a coronavirus? See, a natural coronavirus. You would go into a sewer or a pond or a swamp where you would have all kinds of parasites in the environment. And the natural host for a coronavirus are these parasites. So now somebody put this up on social media. I guess that's why they picked coronavirus, because that's what they are, parasites. And they fear more than ivermectin. Next image. They fear the truth. Now this is, again, related in an indirect way. This is the CEO of Nestle. Nestle Chocolate. You know those nice people? This is his opinion about water. Water is not a human right. And Nestle Corporation is going all around the world buying up water rights to deny clean water to people unless you can pay. It's not a human right, he said. Next image. I guess the people in Flint, Michigan, they found that out the hard way. They remember when this was little Billy Gates, the little wonder boy, chairman of Microsoft. Okay, well, somebody has a movie out. I don't know if you can read that, but there's a movie out on Bill Gates that gives the whole background of where this clown came from. You don't get these people by accident now. They're made a certain way. Next image. Now, here's a last-minute confession from Pfizer, the number one criminal corporation in the world. They've paid more criminal fines than any other corporation in history. They've been fined for bribery, falsifying research results, bribing government officials. I mean, they paid billions in criminal fines. That's Pfizer. And now they're saying to people who took their shot, the people who took their shot are being told, contact your doctor. No time to wait. They're warning people about pulmonary embolism, which is basically blood clots that travel to the lungs from some other part of the body, and they get stuck in the lungs, and then you can't breathe and you die. So Pfizer is warning people that if you took our shot and you're experiencing chest pain, Contact your doctor immediately. No time to wait. Now they tell you, right? Next image. Oh, now, blow this up. Blow this up. See, now, this is someone doing some research in Europe. Is actually taking a look at what's in these vials, these shots that people are being injected with. Now, we've been told that Dr. Lieberman in Harvard invented nano-sized transistors. Well, now you're looking at one. This is a nano-sized transistor that was found in one of the vaccines. And this is viewed under a microscope. And if you, I don't know if you can blow it up anymore, but you can actually see the microcircuits. This is like a computer chip. But now it's so small that it fits inside of a living cell. And it can transmit and receive radio signals. Yeah, see, I mean, you can almost see it. I posted this on Twitter where you can get a better image. And then you can, the link to the entire article. This is just one image from the article. There's probably about 20 images of these electronic devices that are being injected into people. So this is nanotechnology made visible. So next image, please. So a lot of people are beginning to understand that once this is injected into you, then it means that you can be remotely controlled. So sometimes we notice behavior changes in people who got the injection, and that might not be them for real. That might just be remote control signals that they're receiving at the cellular level. Think what that might mean. You're receiving signals at the cellular level. See, now, again, these late confessions. Now, blow it up so the image is more than the words. Just see, Pfizer, Pfizer again, late confessions, maybe deathbed confessions. They're letting you know Pfizer's confidential documents confirm that the vaccine, in quotation marks, could cause vaccine-associated enhanced disease. That's what VAED stands for. Vaccine-associated enhanced disease. It means that if you take our shot, any disease that you already have is going to get worse. That's what, if you read the paper. Then on the left bottom corner, Moderna. This is Moderna, the other big so-called vaccine company. Their scientists bragged about using the mRNA to hack the kingdom of life. That's what they openly boast about. They're proud of it. That's what they're doing to you. But they sold it to you as a vaccine, even though it's actually gene therapy. And that's a direct quote from the CEO of Johnson & Johnson. See, they're all admitting the truth. They're saying, oh, well, you didn't know? And then over here, Moderna admits that the mRNA jabs are an operating system designed to program humans. Now, we reported this maybe a year and a half ago on the Your Immunity Project. And when we first said that, people looked at us like we were crazy. Now, they're admitting it openly in the public that that's exactly what it is, an operating system designed to program humans. Next image. Now, here's the CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bourla, and he says he doesn't want to jump the line. So even though, about 2 or 3 billion people have taken the shot already, he doesn't want to jump the line. He wants to be the last one in line. That tells you something, doesn't it? Next image. And look here. Now, this is a financial guru from Goldman Sachs. This is according to a Bloomberg TV interview. Goldman Sachs head of commodities research, Jeff Curry, said, I've been doing this 30 years and I've never seen markets like this. This is a molecule crisis. I don't know what that means, but he says we're out of everything. I don't care if it's oil, gas, coal, copper, aluminum, you name it, we're out of it. Well, that explains your supply chain shortage, doesn't it? So now, along with the pandemic, what this means is that we're facing economic collapse, famine. You name it, we're out of it. That includes food. Next image. Truck demand dates. You see, they're doing that all over the world. They shut down the Canadian government, you see. And now copycat truckers all over the world, you see, they say, we are essential. You can't do this to us and our families. We are the ones that deliver the goods. You see, so you are abridging our human rights. Okay, we're going to show you what a truck can do. So truck your mandates. And that's what they did in Canada and Australia, New Zealand. They're doing the same thing in Paris, in Germany. The truckers are on the road, you know. And then there's a truck convoy that's on the way from California. They're driving all across the country. They're going to pick up trucks all over the country and come to Washington, D.C. I wonder if they'll shut the government down and call it an insurrection. Next image. See, now blow this up. See, they're talking tough about Ukraine. And according to the commander-in-chief, he says unjabbed Americans will be left stranded in Ukraine. They won't be allowed to leave Ukraine unless they take the jab. See, tough talk against Americans. Next image. Okay, yes, blow this up. Now, many people have heard me mention the name Klaus Schwab. Here's a picture. He's the big guy in the middle there, the bald head guy, Klaus Schwab. He runs the World Economic Forum. And for the last 20 or 30 years, the World Economic Forum has been grooming world leaders. So these are some of the graduates. There's over 10,000 world leaders that have been groomed by the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab's students. So you have Boris Johnson of England. He's running England. The last three or four prime ministers of England are all under the control of Klaus Schwab. There you have the prime minister, Justin Trudeau of Canada. You're asking why, you want to know why he's acting like such an idiot? Okay, because he's not responding to his own people in Canada. He's taking orders from Klaus Schwab. And right below him, who's that? Isn't that Pete Buttigieg or whatever his name is, the transportation secretary? And you're wondering why there's a bottleneck in transportation, that the ships can't be unloaded, that packages can't be delivered? Well, he's in charge of transportation, but who does he take his orders from? He takes his orders from Klaus Schwab. You see? I got Justin Trudeau mixed up with the governor of California. That's Gavin Newsom below Boris Johnson. I'm sorry, Gavin Newsom. You're wondering why things are in a mess in California? Nothing is working right, that he's working against the interests of the people in California? That's because he doesn't take orders from you. He takes orders from Klaus Schwab. And across the board there, look at that. That's Emmanuel Macron, the president of France. A graduate of Klaus Schwab's class of young global leaders. And next to him is Jeff Bezos. Have you heard that name before? Runs the global supply chain called Amazon. And right there is Billy Boy himself, a graduate of Klaus Schwab. You say, who's running Billy Boy? Klaus Schwab. There's Angela Merkel, the former chancellor of Germany. Where did she get her marching orders from? Klaus Schwab. And on and on and on. And I think the one at the top there, that's the prime minister of New Zealand. You see, and you say, well, why are all of these global leaders, why are they all marching in lockstep, instituting the same policies? It's because it's coming from the same source, Klaus Schwab. We showed last week that the nasal swab test, I call it the Klaus nasal swab test. He invented that because he understood years ago that many people would be hesitant to take his vaccine. He invented the term vaccine hesitancy. And he suggested that a nasal swab could be developed that would deliver a vaccine even to people who think that the only way you can get a vaccine is with a jab. Now, he proved you wrong. So send in the clowns, and they've been sent in all over the world. You wonder, where are these crazy district attorneys coming from and these judges that make these haywire decisions? Where are they all coming from? They're all students and graduates of the Klaus Schwab Young Global Leadership School. That's where they're coming from. It's no secret. They're proud of it. And even Vladimir Putin is a graduate of the Young Global Leadership School. Next image, please. Now, here's the new chancellor of Germany, and he's a former Stasi agent. Stasi was the East German secret police when East Germany was a communist country. So he was the he was a big wig in Stasi. So he knows how to run a police state. Next image. He runs Germany now. And people say the Nazis lost the war. Now, this is very interesting from Scotland. I want to read this. So drop it down. Public Health from Scotland confirms. Listen to this carefully now. This is from the Public Health Department in Scotland. And they confirm that the vaccinated people account for 4 out of every 5 COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. In other words, 80% of people who come down with COVID-19, so-called, 80% of people who end up in the hospital, and 80% of the deaths that are occurring in Scotland occur among people who have received the vaccine, so-called. The percentage of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths have gone down in the unvaccinated population, while increasing drastically in the vaccinated population. And the link, this is from my Twitter account, Dr. Aline. So there's a link here to the full research article, which is pages and pages of documentation of what we're talking about here. This is just a summary of it. But the evidence is clear. It's a death shot. So deaths among the triple vaccinated people in Scotland increased by 495% in 1 month. Think about that. Next image. See, this is the Your Immunity Project. We tell it the way it is. We just tell the truth. You be the judge whether this is good news or bad news. Now here, the Missouri Poison Control warns people about the chemical that's inside the free tests that are being distributed. There's a chemical called sodium azide, which is also the powder used in airbags, and it causes a toxic effect in people that are exposed to it. And so here's a free government test made in China being distributed by the Biden administration that contains a toxic poison. Next image. And here's a new report. It's just coming out. I mean, I'm not going to go into the details of this, but we already reported the 20 mechanisms of injury of the spike protein. Now, here's some more research showing even more dangers from the mRNA. The more that people look at this, the more they find out how terrible it is. It's worse than anybody ever imagined. Next image. Now, here's an interesting article, and you can get the link on my Twitter account, Dr. Aline. There's been billions of mRNA shots administered all over the world and mandates issued in country after country after country. But now, in the country where they say this whole thing started, in China, do you know not a single mRNA vaccination has been given? Not a single one. And China flattened the curve 2 years ago. And they didn't give anybody an mRNA shot, not to this day. Now, if you go to the link and read the article, you'll see that the original mRNA vaccine was developed in China in 2019, even though Trump claimed that they developed it in America at warp speed. But no, the Chinese reported it in 2019, but they never used it. So did they send the mRNA technology to Europe and America to try it out as an experiment on Europe and America? Are the Chinese really conducting a mass human experiment on European and Western countries? They invented this thing, despite what Dr. Malone said. Next image. I just came across this. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that at the change of the universal change of the world, we would see a blue and a red star. And so somebody took this photograph recently. He said that this shows in the, I think, the southeastern sky once every 50,000 years, and it indicates a universal change taking place. So there they are. Next image. See, now this is History Month, right? So the man who gave us AIDS, Anthony Fauci. Now, we showed this headline at the upper right-hand corner. This is from the London Sunday Times, May the 11th, 1987. And the headline says, smallpox vaccine triggered AIDS virus. Smallpox vaccine triggered, it didn't say AIDS epidemic. It says smallpox vaccine triggered AIDS virus, that the vaccine created the virus. Are you listening? And it was a smallpox vaccine that was administered in Africa. And that's what caused the big epidemic in Africa. And also vaccines for hepatitis were used in Haiti and in the homosexual population in New York and in San Francisco. So vaccines have always been used to start epidemics. Vaccines have never stopped epidemics. What stops an epidemic is the natural, number one, the natural history of viruses that they just peter out, and then also natural immunity. That's what stops epidemics, not vaccines. Vaccines are used to start epidemics. So we have to learn the lessons of history. Next image, please. Yeah, so this is just a funny social media. You know, the Biden and Trudeau are freaking out because they find out that they don't have any real power. They can issue all the mandates they want. They can issue all of the orders they want, all of the executive orders they want. But actually, when the people take the power back, take their power back, see, power to the people. See, they find out they don't have anything. Next image. This is related to 5G installation, and now actually they're developing 6G in China. And wherever they turn on these 5G towers, birds are falling out of the sky. So now if it's affecting birds in that way, what do you think it might be doing to you? I know when I installed 5G in my house, I killed all my plants, killed my rose bushes, killed my lavender bushes, killed my echinacea plants. Still haven't recovered. It turned the soil into like concrete and birds falling out of the sky. Next image. The Russians showed that 5G waves can create viral particles inside living cells. Now, as we're talking about 5G and 6G, then what it can do, well, it can also go down. It can go down. So the whole country of Portugal went into darkness last week. The same thing happened in Lebanon, in the Middle East. The whole country went into darkness. The whole power grid in the whole country went down. In India, you have India is a huge country, but you have whole sections of India in the dark right now. So the global power grid is shaky and going down. And so you need to imagine what it would mean to you if the power grid, if the 5G network, if the communication grid, the internet, whatever you want to call it, suppose that goes down. Then what? Then what will you do? Next image. Don't think it can't happen. Yeah, now this is the report out of Johns Hopkins. We reported this over a year ago. See, you see the Terra Gripper on the left-hand corner there? You know, six-pointed star. That's where they put the vaccine or the drug. They can administer anything with this, any type of medication. You just put it in that little center of depression. It closes up, and then they stick it up your nose. See the little particles on the that's not cotton. It looks like cotton, but it's not cotton. It's some special material. And those fibers actually have a motion of their own, and they wiggle like little worms, and they wiggle their way into the brain because that's right behind where that swab ends up going, into the ethmoid sinus. And that's right up there against your brain. So that's how they install these nanoelectronics into people who are resistant to the jab. Yes, Johns Hopkins University confirms you can be vaccinated with a PCR swab test without knowing. They won't tell you. They'll tell you it's a test. And you already know it's not a test. The inventor of the PCR told you it was not to be used as a clinical test. And now you found out that the even the FDA didn't approve it for testing for COVID-19. So if it's not a test, then what is it? Well, you just found out it's a nasal vax. It's a different delivery system for the same vaccine. Next image. So if you have vowed that you're not going to be vaccinated, then don't get that nasal test. If you already got it, then you already got vaccinated. And this is Governor Hochul's, this is a call to action in response to her regulation that authorizes the detainment of suspected public health threats. That means you and me. Anybody that she deems a public health threat, no testing needed. She just throws you in jail. Next image. Now, this is Dr. Luc Montagnier, the Nobel Prize winner for medicine, and he declared recently that the non-vaccinated will save humanity. That's a direct quote. He warned early on that the worst thing that you could do would be to start a vaccine campaign in the middle of a pandemic. He already said that years ago, about 2 years ago when we're talking about it. That's the worst thing you could do, he said. Because all you're going to do if you start a vaccine campaign in the middle of a pandemic is you're going to create all of the variants, and they're going to be more lethal than the one you started out with. That's what he said. Yeah, he was right. And, of course, the day after he made this declaration, he was found dead. He was on his way to testify. There's a lawyer in Germany. I can't pronounce his name. But they're bringing like a Nuremberg tribunal together and against these people who are committing these crimes against humanity. And Dr. Luc Montagnier was on his way to testify, and he winds up dead. Isn't that something? Amazing. Next image. Now, this is in Austria. It's like they had those radar guns along the side of the road. Now they got radar guns for COVID vaccine compliance. They'll stop you. You see? So this is getting real, very real. Next image. So Moderna declares the COVID vaccine to be an operating system. So they're openly admitting that that is what they're doing to you. This is transhumanism. They are turning you into some kind of a GMO creature that is part biological and part mechanical or digital. See those nanotechnology things we showed you? Hey, when that's floating around in your cells, then what are you? Are you human? No, you're transhuman. And that's what Moderna did to you. That's what Pfizer is doing to you without your consent. Next image. They're operating you. This is just a plug for the 19th Element. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m., Calfani Radio. So please don't miss that. We can go a little bit wider with the 19th Element. We try to stick to COVID-19 issues on Tuesdays. Next image. Okay, we've seen this. Yeah, unlearned lessons of history, how epidemics start. So just like the smallpox vaccine triggered the AIDS virus, the mRNA triggers the COVID-19 and all of its variants. Next image. And this is the vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And what they're finding out is people who have gotten the jab do test positive. Now, even Prince, one of those princes over there in England, Prince Andrew, one of them, says it's your civic duty to get an HIV test. So if you do, you're going to be shocked that you're HIV positive if you got the shot. Next image. Now, this was brought out last week. We played the video by Dr. Peterson Pierre, where hospitals and doctors are being paid if they prescribe remdesivir. Now, we've already pointed out earlier, you can't get the ivermectin, you can't get the interferon, you can't get the hydrochloroquine. That's off limits. You get in trouble if you prescribe that, even though they work. But here's remdesivir. You get paid if you prescribe this one. And what does remdesivir do? It kills. Well, that's it. It kills. That's what it does. Right off the bat, 40% kidneys are killed with remdesivir. You give people remdesivir right off the bat, 40% will lose their kidneys. And then as time goes on, multiple organ failure will occur, ultimately leading to death. And the government is paying hospitals to administer this deadly drug. And this is not the only one. There's other deadly drugs along with this that's a part of the official protocol. Next image. And so this is a part of the overall agenda, which is population decline. And so you can see in the middle there, the Deagle projection for the United States was originally said to be 99 million by 2025. That was revised by Dr. Deagle shortly before his death. He died about a year ago. But he said his original calculation down to 99 million had not taken into account the pandemic. So then he had to go back to the drawing board. And when he revised his projection, it settled down at 69 million left alive in America by 2025. And so that's what we're headed towards. That's what the plan is. And so you have to decide whether you are going to go along with that or not. Next image, that might be the last one. Oh, this is just to remind you that there's volcanoes going on all over the world, putting ash into the atmosphere. This is also contributing to global cooling in the very harsh winter and the cold temperatures that many people are experiencing, and even the floods and that Brother Ruben talked about in Australia, floods in China, floods in India, floods in the Middle East, snow taking place in the Saharan Desert, very strange weather conditions. And part of the reason is because of the volcanic ash. There's dozens and dozens of volcanoes. This one's in Guatemala. There's one in the middle of the Atlantic. They're all over the place. And they're spewing out ash. This is contributing to the issue of famine. Next image.
Yes, sir. The other one was the last one. This one was one of the ones from last week that didn't get seen.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your kind attention. Those are some of the headlines. That's some of what's going on. There's actually much, much more than that, but there's only so much we can show at one time. So, I think at this point, I don't know if Mr. Curtis Cross, did he join us to give us an update from New York? If not, then we can go right to open the phone line for questions, answers, and testimonials, special reports.
Okay, I don't see Mr. Cross on yet.
Yeah, okay. He didn't confirm, so I guess he didn't make it. So let's open up our lines. If you're online on the Zoom conference call or the telephone conference call.
Okay. So for the callers who are on the Zoom platform, please raise your hand And if you have a question or a testimony, and I'll acknowledge your hand. If you are on the Facebook Live, please put your question or testimony in the chat. For the free conference call, I guess we could try it again this week. And if not, then we're going to send your questions via text message. All right, we have Brother Elton Muhammad.
All right, Assalamu alaikum, family. I want to say, first of all, Happy Savior's Day. And mine is more like in admiration. Dr. Aleem, you know, brother, I really have to give thanks to Allah. And that's why we as Muslims taught that we're going to follow Muhammad. Because when Muhammad came, he came to give us life in abundance. And I'm telling you, or suggesting to you, brother, and all those who are listening, that when you speak, brother, you are offering us from the God life in abundance, only if we but hear and carry out the instructions. That's the most important thing. And in closing, I want to say, you're right. Over a year ago, you told us that the MRA was a military operating system that was programmable. We found that to be true. You told us that the 5G mechanism or onset would be able to trigger that. We found that to be true. You told us that they had blue crab blood in it that was causing what they would call blood clots. We found that to be true. And you also told us, brother, that it would be self-spreading. See, that's why I'm following Muhammad, brother, because everything that Muhammad has given to us has come to reality or prophecy. Prophecy just don't come from Allah. Prophecy comes from knowledge and understanding that dictates the will and the direction of the gods. May Allah continue to bless you, dear brother. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Well, thank you for those kind words. Yeah, that's why I follow Muhammad too. So let's not get anything twisted, anybody. But you know, he's right. He's right in a lot of what he's saying. See, science is prophetic. True science is prophetic. That's why you do science, because it gives you the ability to predict what happens next. So when you master the principles of science, hey, you have the ability to predict events. And so that's what we do. We try to go after the principles that are being applied. And we read. The Quran begins with that word, right? Read. And so we read the scientific literature. We read the newspapers. We read the news accounts that are coming out. We go through all of it every day. And we sift out from the mass of what is available or those things that seem to be true. And we test it. If it's important enough, then we test it to make sure that it's true. And then we present it to people, because we don't want to be classified among the liars, you know, who just say anything for a dollar. You know, we say the truth for the truth's sake, you know, and we let the dollars and the cents take care of themselves. So thank you, Brother Elton. Let's open up for someone else.
Yes, sir.
Maybe has a question, or I
guess, sir. We have a question from Facebook Live. Khalila asked the question: though I've had nasal swab tests, does that equate to being vaccinated? Though antibody tests are negative.
Well, yes. I mean, I think that was the point that I made. Yes, the nasal swab is a vaccine. It's a different route of administration of the same vaccine. Now, of course, from an anatomical point of view, remember, I'm a doctor, I'm a surgeon. It's a direct route to the brain. If you get a jab in the arm, okay, that's a muscle. And it's got to travel through the bloodstream to reach different parts of the body. But when you go right up in the nasal cavity, go look it up in some book of anatomy. And you'll see what I'm talking about. That goes right up into the ethmoid sinus, right up against the cribriform plate, which is the thin plate of bones, thin as a piece of paper. And it's actually perforated. That's where the olfactory nerve fibers come through. So there's actually openings in the bone. So when they put that swab up there, then those fibers, they're not cotton. They're some kind of strange fibers that move on their own like little worms. And they wiggle their way through the cribriform plate. And right on the other side of the cribriform plate, you have the what I really think of as the Holy Trinity of the body. You have the hypothalamus gland that controls your autonomic nervous system. You have the pituitary gland, which controls your hormonal system. And then above them, those two, you have your pineal gland, which is your spiritual connection. It gives you your insight. You see, so that is directly attacked through that nasal route. I'll say one other thing about that. As a surgeon, you know, this is a route for doing neurosurgical procedures. Some procedures are done directly through the nose. And in ancient history, when they embalmed the pharaohs in ancient Kemet or Egypt, for reasons that I don't quite understand, they would remove the brain through the nose. They would have instruments to go through the cribriform plate, and they could scrape out the entire brain of the mummy. And they would preserve the brain separately in a jar. Why they did that, don't ask me. But I'm just saying that this is a known and preferred route for many medical procedures. So yes, if you got the swab test, more than likely you're vaccinated.
Wow. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Sister Connie?
Okay, I did. Anonymous, go right ahead. Can you please speak up, ma'am? Anonymous, you're on.
Yes. Sister Connie, we do not accept any calls from anonymous people.
Okay, cool.
And anybody right. Who will not give their name or their identity, we don't want to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Understood.
Okay, we have ARC's iPad. Please unmute. ARC's. Okay. I'm going to go to the next one because I'm not sure if you're having an issue or not with it.
Yeah, I think he was on last week. Had an issue.
Yes, sir. Sister Brenda Muhammad.
Now, ARC just he just unleashed himself.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, ARC.
I don't see him on the drop.
Okay.
Sister Brenda Muhammad.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Brother, I was speaking to you about a month or so ago, and I told you that you were speaking about last, about the nanos or the going through the nose.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I've been noticing that... it was getting worse until I got some D3 and I got some cod liver oil capsules. Okay. I'm still having the headaches, but every now and then it's like a strain, but I can feel it on my thyroid. What you just said, I noticed what I've been experiencing. I didn't get the shot, but I got the test done because I had a passenger in my car that had COVID. And so I was just wondering, because I was asking you about, I don't know if you had the test, I was asking you if are you going to have the virtual, is it going to be virtual, these tests you're doing, or what? Do I have to come to that state in order for you to do that test? Because I noticed what it is, exactly what you're saying, that each area where I'm being affected, from the back of my head to my throat, I was having salivary swelling, And what you just said, I know for me, observing myself is what I have, you know, experienced. So that's why I want to ask you. That's why I was asking about the ivermectin. I don't know. I'm not going to mention what the sister said to me on the stream because I thought we all was Muhammad. But anyway, I want to get the ivermectin because I can't afford the pastamine right now because I had a knee injury. But I don't mean to say all that, brother, but I wanted to know if, because I had three of those tests done, you know what I'm saying? And I know I could feel it in the middle of the night, the changes I was going through, and I would get up and I would boil hot water, I would drink stuff to try to alter whatever it was trying to take over my body. So I want to know what can be done.
Well, I'm very glad you called in. And you see, that's why in so many instances, maybe not yours, but in so many instances, the proposition that was given to people was the jab or your job. And then they would make a concession. They would say, okay, well, if you don't want the jab, then the option would be weekly testing. And in some cases, twice weekly testing or even daily testing. Well, the reason why they would make you that offer is if you don't want the jab, okay, we'll vaccinate you another way. You see, and the unsuspecting person, not realizing that you're just dealing with completely dishonest people who have a covert agenda that they're working on you, whether you like it or not, and they'll say anything to you to get you to roll up your sleeve or to allow them to stick something up your nose. Well,
May I ask you another question?
Well, wait, I haven't finished answering your first one.
Okay.
You asked me what can be done.
Okay.
Well, the best thing to be done, of course, is the way we started out our call, prevention. You don't do it in the first place. Now, after it's been done, after you've gotten the injection, after you've gotten the nasal swab test, after the nanotechnology has been put into your body in some means or form, what must you do or what can you do? Well, my honest answer to you, sister, I don't know. I don't know what you can do. I think you can pray. Now, we're working on some of the research that we're working on is trying to come up with an answer, a true answer. But right now, I don't have an answer. I don't know what anybody can do that's been injected or who has had the nasal swab as another means of vaccination. The nanotechnology is real. We showed you the pictures of it. You are reporting by your own testimony, some of the symptoms, what it feels like, what happens in your body. Now, what can be done about it? I don't know at this point.
Well, my second question was just about the diet, because I didn't know that this was happening with the squabs till after, because this was the beginning of the COVID, and I was doing taxi service. But I was wondering, could the diet increase immunity against that? And I also been taking food grade hydrogen peroxide, little doses.
Wait a minute. Let's clarify some issues here.
Okay.
If you're talking about natural immunity against the virus, then of course nutrition is the way to go.
Okay.
We're not talking about natural immunity against the virus. We're talking about nanotechnology, electronics.
Mm-hmm.
What does your immune system have to say to an electronic transistor?
Mm-hmm.
A nanochip, a microchip. It's like injecting a nano-sized cell phone into a person's body. Now, what does your immune system have to say to a cell phone that suddenly shows up within the body, nano-sized?
Well, can I give you what I've been researching?
Well, what I'm saying is, you're not paying attention to the actual reality. You're talking about electronics, not living organisms. Your immune system is able to handle living organisms that might attack you and cause you to be sick. Nutrition will help to develop your immune function. But we're not talking about living organisms being injected into your body. We're talking about electronics, silicon, metallic objects, wires, electrodes. That's not biology. That's machinery. And so now, what do you do about that? I don't know. When they installed the 5G network into my house, I had the technician come and take it out. Now, when they install 5G or other nanotechnology into a person's body, what technician do you call to take it out? Maybe you should call up the CEO of Moderna, since he, I don't know, you know, I mean, call up Johns Hopkins, find out what do you do to take this stuff out that you put into me? You're boasting that you created an operating system to control human beings. Now, how do I take it out? They probably have an answer. I don't have an answer. I didn't put it in you. So we're looking for an answer. But don't fool yourself. You're not dealing with a virus anymore. You're dealing with electronics. Next call, please.
Ark, Brother Ark, please unmute. Okay. Brother Craig.
Assalamu alaikum. Did I get through?
Alaikum salam.
Okay.
Yes,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Dr. Leem, I have somewhat of a testimony and I guess a question after that, but I will make this story short. A friend of mine is recently that lives in Tennessee. We went to college together. He told me that he had went to the hospital and got his PSA levels checked. And to his surprise, I guess, that the levels were high. Yeah, I can say that. Yeah, that his PSA levels were high in his prostate. I immediately reacted, sent him down 2 bottles of Paxamune and also a jar of sea moss. A few days, maybe a few weeks later, I asked him how he was doing. He said he felt better. He was a lot less weak, you know, sleepy. He had more energy, he believed. But recently, he went back to the doctors and got scanned or got checked. And the doctors told him that the cancer and his prostate has shifted from where that in that area up to his abdominal. So I started asking him questions. And I, one of the questions I remember asking him, I asked him, are they have you on any medications? And he said, yes. He said that they have him on medications that helps reduce his testosterone. I immediately, when I heard that, I said, something ain't right with that. So he gave me the name. I told him to reach out to Dr. Sadia Shabazz up there in Philadelphia. I don't think he got through to her just yet. And he asked me to come on here and to ask a question about his medication. And I was wondering if I could give you the name of the medication and see if you ever heard about it or what you might think about it.
And that's standard treatment for what you're talking about. But again, this is not the proper use of this call.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
To give a medical consultation about prostate cancer. That's not what this call is for.
Well, can you, I could ask the question, is that something like people do take medication to reduce their hormones?
That is standard therapy in some cases of prostate cancer. Yes, that's standard care.
Oh, okay. All right. We don't have to go.
That's what they do. That's what they do. I'm not saying that that is the right thing to do, but is there something strange about it? No, they do that all the time.
Okay. Fair enough. That's a good answer. I'll let them know that you said that. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, real quick, just to let you know, I work in a petroleum plant by mm-hmm. Shell Petroleum. Mm-hmm. I do work with 7,000 employees. split between two shifts, a day shift and a night shift. I have been around, forced to been around people that I know have had the COVID and also people that have been vaccinated. And I want to tell you and all the listeners, man, I have been taking the Paxlovid for 2 years and I have not succumbed to no illnesses whatsoever. Furthermore, I have been unfortunately swabbed twice before knowing the information that the swab tests that they give do have the medical technology on them. But I just want to let you know, Dr. Lehm, in the family here, that I have not succumbed to no illnesses. My mother, who recently passed away, she had got vaccinated, and I was, you know, taking care of her, being on meds, and I still have not succumbed to no illnesses being around her. So something's working. And I just want to say all praise is due to Allah.
Thank you for that call. Now, I'll make a further comment just in general about prostate cancer, which is epidemic among black men and men in general in this country, just as breast cancer has become epidemic among women, and especially black women. Now, the connection is with vaccinations. One of the original vaccines, the polio vaccine, which is contaminated, I said is contaminated with the SV40 virus, the simian 40 virus, the original oncovirus, meaning a virus that can cause cancer. So SV40 is present in the polio vaccine that is still administered to this day. Now, the SV40 virus causes cancer, but it is called a lente virus, L-E-N-T-E. Lente virus means slow. It's slow. It does what it does, but it does it slowly over years and years and years. So men who received the polio vaccine when they were little boys developed prostate cancer in their 40s and 50s. Women who received the polio vaccine when they were little girls, they developed breast cancer when they are in their 40s and 50s. And oftentimes the breast cancer or the prostate cancer is very, very aggressive. Now, when they do the biopsy, and this would have to be a special request, you biopsy the tumor that's in the breast or the prostate, and with special staining and special tests, what you would detect is the presence of the SV40 virus. In other words, the cause of that tumor in the breast, the cause of that tumor in the prostate is a virus. And the virus was administered by a vaccine that was given 30, 40, or even 50 years ago. Now, you said that you sent your friend some Paxlovid. Well, that was good, because more than likely, the cause of that prostate cancer that your friend has, since it seems to be so aggressive, it probably is the SV40 virus that's in his prostate. And the Paxlovid will help that, even at this late stage. Again, I'm not giving out specific medical advice, but I'm just giving you the background of why are we having this epidemic in prostate cancer? Why are we having this epidemic in breast cancer? It's because of the polio vaccine that was administered back in the 50s and the 60s, and is still being administered to this day. My friend and schoolmate, David Satcher, when he was Surgeon General, and before that he was the director of the CDC, he used to come by my office here in Washington when he was in town. And one day I asked him about the SV40. I said, what do you think about that? He said, he confirmed. Oh, yes, we know about that. This is when he was the director of CDC. Oh, we know about that. I said, well, when was that taken out of the vaccine? I thought it was taken out. He said, no, it's never been taken out. We don't consider it to be much of a risk. So the polio shot that children are being given today has the SV40 virus in it, and they will get prostate cancer and breast cancer 30, 40 years down the line. This is known facts. So the Paxlovid will help. I'm just pointing that out, that all is not lost. You did the right thing by instinct, just by giving the Paxlovid. And I'm just letting you know why it was a good thing for you to do that. Thank you. Let's take one more call. It's getting late, and and we'll call it an evening. One more call, please.
Yes, sir. Sister Barbara Lewis.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah, real quick, brother. Thank you so much for everything. All praise is due to Allah. I have a cousin that did take the jab, and of course, you know, she was forced and whatever. And anyway, so she's on the line, but she couldn't get through to ask the question herself. But she said since she took the jab, and she's no longer interested in anything else now, that she's heard a tidbit of your information, what should she do? So I'm just calling, I'm just asking on her behalf, if you can help her to secure what I have already told her, all praises due to Allah.
Okay, well, if she is on the call, I mean, maybe she heard the research report earlier, and that's really what people can do. If you got the jab or you got the nasal swab test, you heard me say already, I really don't know what to do, but we're trying to find out what to do. And the way we do that is with research. So Brother Dawood gave the website for the clinical trial. So that's what your friend can do. And that's what anybody that has that concern. I mean, I know who I'm talking to. A whole bunch of you out there got the jab. Pardon me, if you didn't get the jab, but you did get the nasal swab. And some of you did get the jab. I know who I'm talking to. And you know people, or you have people in your family who made that mistake. And so I'm being very honest with you. I don't know what to do about that. You shouldn't have done it. But it's done now. So the best thing that I would suggest, sign up with the clinical trial project. Go to yourimmunityproject.org and leave your name there, and we'll be in touch with you. And then you'll be able to give us what your status is. I got this jab, or I got two shots, got three shots, got the booster, or I didn't get any shot, but I got the nasal swab, you know, whatever your status might be. And then as an enrollee in the clinical trial, then we can begin to unravel, okay, what is the difference between, say, someone who got the shot versus someone that got the nasal swab? And how many times did they do each or whatever? You know, we can figure those kinds of things out. But we don't shoot from the hip on the Your Immunity Project. We don't just make up stuff like they do on CNN. So I don't really know what to do when a person is in that situation, but we're trying to find out. So the best thing I can say is go to yourimmunityproject.org, leave your name there, say I'm interested in the clinical trials. We'll get back to you very shortly, I think in the next week or two. You'll be notified as to what your next step should be. So sister, that's the best answer I can give you at this time. I think it goes without saying, you know, you do all of the normal health-promoting things, you know, a good diet and keep yourself clean and warm and you well taken care of. But I'm just saying specifically to handle that issue, you know, just sign up for the research project and we'll try to get the answer together. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So I think that will be it for this evening.
Okay.
And Sister Najma, will you give the announcements? And of course, the big news is that the PaxImmune truck is on the way. So go to the website and get your orders in for single bottles, cases. We are going to have a very, very adequate supply, but I don't expect it to last very long. So don't think twice about it. Just go put the order in so that you are in the line because I don't know for sure what the future holds. But we ordered as much as we could possibly afford to get, and it's on the way. But who knows what happens after this. And so I would be, if I were you, I'd put my order in, make sure you have your supply for you and yours. And then if you are, let me just say this. For some of you, you are leaders, you're natural leaders, or you're actually in an official position somewhere, you're a minister, you're a team leader somewhere, you're a supervisor, you're a boss, you know, you're a teacher, you know, you're a coach, you know, you have people who follow you. And you should actually take responsibility for those who follow you. So instead of ordering the single bottle for yourself, why don't you order a case? Or if you're used to ordering a case, why don't you order a quad? A quad is four cases. It comes in a carton with four cases in it. Or if you're really ambitious, you could order a pallet. That's 160 cases. You know, so in other words, think beyond just your individual self and your family. Think about your neighbors. Think about your co-congregants at your church, at your mosque, at your social club, wherever you are. Think about your co-workers. Help. Think. They may not understand what's going on, but you do. And so with knowledge comes responsibility. And so stock up. That's what I'm trying to say. Stock up for yourself. And think about others as well. So thank you. I'm going to dismiss myself. It's my mother's bedtime. So let me go and tuck her in. And Sister Najma, you can close us out with our announcements. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m., the 19th Element, Kalfani Radio. See you then. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. All praises due to Allah. That was our brother, Dr. Aleem Muhammad. All praises due to Allah giving us true for the time that we're in right now. Thank you so much, Dr. Aleem. So you heard it, the Pax Immune by Allah's grace is on its way. So he ordered a little bit more than he did before. So go ahead and put your orders in, and you can put your orders in at Dr. Aleem. I'm all messed up, I'm sorry. I'm a little exhausted. DrAleem.com, and doctor is spelled out, DrAleem.com. Click on shop and you'll be able to order your case of Pax Immune as well as your individual bottles. The Shun Guide is on its way. We have a limited amount of Shun Guide left, so we will be sending out those orders that were first. So we will send those out. The other items, we will go ahead and reimburse you. If there's any changes to your addresses or anything like that, please let us know. And you can email us at mail@draleem.com, and doctor is spelled out. So that's mail@draleem.com, DrAleem.com. And put in that you have an address change or anything like that, because if your address changed when we send it out, it's going to go to your old address that we have on file when you put your order in. So please let us know if there has been any changes. You should be receiving a refund if we are unable to fill your order, and we'll send you an email on that as well. So praise be to Allah. For those who sent in your photos for the trial, for the five who were vaccinated, five who are around vaccinated people, and the five who were isolated from them, Dr. Aleem has those, and he will be looking at those. So thank you so much for sending in those photos. So those who did not send the photos in, who said that they wanted to be a part, you can send your photos to draleemnews@yahoo.com. And doctor is spelled out, DrAleemNews@yahoo.com. Praise be to Allah. All right, so at this time, we're going to go ahead and close out with prayer. Please unmute, Hijaz.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, maliki yawmiddin. ياك ندبو ياك نستعين يخفن سرعة المساكين صروح دين أعطى ليهم كير مكدوب ليهم لكتاولين آمين الله أكبر
آمين الله أكبر. Thanks everyone for being with us this evening, and may Allah continue to bless us all and our family, and inshallah we'll meet back next week. If you have any additional questions, you can put them in the chat. I'll answer some of them from the chat. The emails you have sent, emails, we will be responding by the email as well. So thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
The recording has stopped.
Happy Savior's Day.
Happy Savior's Day.
Happy Savior's Day. All right, let me check this
happy
chat.
Happy Savior's Day.
Yes, ma'am. I did see a question.
My name is Susharit Bhakti. I'm a physician and scientist, and I have the most wonderful piece of news for you today that you will ever hear. The whole world believes that SARS-CoV-2 is a completely new virus that the immune system does not and cannot recognize. Therefore, when it enters your body, the immune system will not have enough time to react and produce antibodies that will save your life. Thus, the absolute need for global vaccination. Recent publications have just appeared that put an end to this narrative. It turns out that the virus and its derivatives are not truly new, and that the immune system does recognize them, and that the immune system therefore rapidly produces the protective antibodies that may be needed to protect you in time. Meaning, in fact, that latent herd immunity is already existent, just as money is in the bank that can be withdrawn whenever you need it. This means, in fact, that we can cast away the dread of this pandemic. We can all return to our wonderful world, to our friends, our beloved ones, join hands and rejoice. There is no need for any other measures to be upheld, and there is no need for vaccination. We are already protected by our immune system.
Dear fellow humans, my name is Thomas Binder. I am a cardiologist and an internist in a private practice in Switzerland, wrote my thesis in immunology and virology, and am proud to be a member of Doctors for COVID Ethics, who are fighting for the reinstitution of scientificity, also known as reality, of sanity, and of humanness. The alleged corona killer virus is nonsense. The alleged epidemic of national or international scope is nonsense. The use of RT-PCR test on healthy people is nonsense. The Cormann-Drosten RT-PCR test protocol is nonsense. The diagnostic criteria for COVID-19 disease are nonsense. Anti-social distancing, quarantine, isolation, contact tracing, masks, school closures and curfews, also called lockdowns for asymptomatic, formerly called healthy people, are nonsense. The unnecessary, ineffective and unsafe serial experimental mRNA and DNA injections are nonsense. SARS-CoV-2 is not a mass killer. If you do not count the number of deceased within 28 days after a positive RT-PCR test from whatever cause, but the number of deceased from COVID-19, it is less dangerous than seasonal influenza that is dangerous for some people, of course. Herd immunity is likely to exist since the end of the Corona 19 season in our mid-northern latitudes in April 2020, and due to cross-immunity, we are well prepared for mutations that are always happening in the sense that the virus becomes more infectious while less dangerous. Furthermore, there is good prophylaxis, for example, vitamin D3, effective therapy such as topical budesonide, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, and the most severe cases, mostly with inflammation of blood vessels and disorders of thrombocytes and clotting, can be treated by anticoagulants. So, there is absolutely no need for ineffective, unsafe, serial experimental mRNA and DNA injections whose mid- and long-term risks are totally unknown, not for adults, and especially not for children.
I am a family doctor in British Columbia, Canada. In my medical practice, the first 900 people to receive the COVID vaccine got their shot 4 months ago. But sadly, out of those people, 10 now have ongoing medical problems ever since their first shot. That's 10 out of 900, 1 in 90. And sadly, out of those people, 5 of them literally now have a permanent disability from their COVID shot. And these were not sick people. These were healthy people who decided to have this vaccine because they were told it would keep them safe, but whose lives are now sadly changed forever by it.
The CDC told us last December that they were going to use 11 different safety systems to determine the safety of the new COVID vaccines. This was really important because we've never had messenger RNA or DNA vaccines in common usage ever before. Doctors did not know what to expect. The vaccines had not been tested on nursing home residents, children, or pregnant women. Well, now there have been 160 million Americans who have received the vaccine, but CDC has not uttered a single word about what those databases actually show. In 40 years of practicing medicine, I've never seen so much secrecy. I think if the news had been good, we would have heard about it. I'm concerned, and you should be too.
Hello, my name is Michael Palmer. I grew up in Germany and trained there as an MD, and I'm now teaching biochemistry at a Canadian university. There's an old adage coined by American newspaperman H.L. Mencken. The whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by menacing it with an endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary. There has never been a more brazen or more cynical proof of this adage than the current COVID pandemic. The virus pandemic is a fraud, but the pandemic of fear which it has produced is real. Every day, more lies are spread to keep the fear alive and make it grow.
Just as smoking was predicted to cause cancer because of the way it works, so the COVID vaccines will predictably cause blood clots because of the way they work. They produce COVID spike proteins in your blood. So sadly, blood clots are inevitable. And the numerous accounts that we hear constantly from around the world of serious life-threatening blood clots in COVID-vaccinated people are the simple evidence of that. So in my medical practice, the 10 people that now have ongoing medical problems since their first COVID shot, that have muscle weakness, that have sensory loss, that have dizziness, that have tingling, that have shortness of breath, this is all evidence that these poor people had thousands of tiny, tiny blood clots in the capillary networks of their brain or their lungs.
Healthcare laws are contradictory when it comes to vaccines. On the one hand, we are guaranteed certain rights. These include bodily autonomy and informed consent. No medical procedure can be forced. We can accept or refuse any medical procedure with no coercion. On the other hand, other laws say it's okay to keep children out of school if they haven't had certain vaccinations. Once the COVID vaccines are licensed, we can argue back and forth whether requiring them for school, work, or travel is legal or illegal. But everybody knows what's right. Unless you know the true safety and efficacy of COVID vaccines, you cannot make an informed decision about getting them. And when the government is hiding the safety information about the vaccines, everybody knows it's wrong to require them.
Remember that the COVID vaccines don't stop you getting COVID and they don't stop you spreading COVID. All that they do is reduce severe symptoms. That's why vaccinated people still have to wear masks and keep away from one another. So if anyone tells you that you can somehow keep other people safe by being vaccinated, it makes absolutely no sense at all. As you know, the authorities want to vaccinate our children too. But your child's chances of dying from COVID or getting seriously sick from it is almost zero. So why would you risk ruining their life with this experimental vaccine to protect them against a disease that poses no risk to them? It just makes no sense at all.
Everyone knows by now that the COVID PCR test has turned countless healthy people into fake cases through its false positive test results. But did you know that at least here in Canada, those with positive antibody tests are also declared cases? In real medicine, if you are healthy and have antibodies against some virus, it means that you have either had the virus or the vaccine at some earlier time, and that you are now immune. Only in COVID wonderland do antibodies make you a case. By that definition, you, I, and our mothers-in-law are all measles cases, because we all have measles antibodies. These are just some of the tricks used to keep you in fear. The good news is that you can snap out of your fear at the push of a button. That button is the one on your TV set. Switch it off, open the window, and let the sun shine in. Take a decision today. No more fear propaganda for me. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever.
Every second year medical student has to study basic epidemiology. There, he learns that when an epidemic of national scope is declared, a study cohort must be constituted immediately for longitudinal surveillance. This cohort must represent the demographics of the population, and it is used for tracking the case numbers, the severity of the disease, and the status of immunity to the germ that caused the epidemic. However, even though it is now more than a year ago that the WHO declared the COVID pandemic, such a representative surveillance cohort does not exist in your country. Either there is no one among your government ministers, your health authorities, and their advisors with the knowledge of a second-year medical student, or you are being totally fooled. The epidemic is fake, but the oppressive measures which it has produced are real. They threaten our freedom, our livelihoods, and even our lives. Dear responsible fellow humans, wake up, stand up and fight, peacefully but firmly. If not for yourself, then for your children's future and that of your grandchildren. Let's all join hands to end this unethical, unjust nonsense now.
Thank you, Senator, for giving me an uninterrupted opportunity to represent the harm that is coming to the patients in the American hospitals and the lack of early intervention. My name is Nicole Sirotek. I'm a registered nurse. I've been a registered nurse for over a decade. My specialty is critical care, trauma, and flight. Since the start of the COVID pandemic, I've actually been rebranded, I guess you can say, as a leading expert in early intervention strategies executed on a large mass scale using the FLCCC protocol, as well as COVID patient ventilator protective strategies to optimize COVID patients on the ventilators. My story actually begins back in May of 2020. I was one of the original nurses that went to NYC to help with the COVID pandemic because, as we remembered, they needed nurses. Most importantly, they needed ventilators. Well, I was the whole package, a flight nurse that can manage ventilators. And when I arrived there, the gross negligence and the medical, you know, malfeasance that happened in there and the complete medical mismanagement of these patients is what has led us to the situation that we're in right now. The pandemic and the hysteria that was created from poor public health measures and poor execution of appropriate early intervention strategies and the handicapping of medical professionals doing their job has led to where we are right now and into the crisis situation that we are in. I will use several key case studies that will represent larger descriptive statistical information for what I'm going to speak of. But when I was in New York, and what continues to happen today is that many of them are not dying from COVID. Now, many people don't know about me is that I'm actually a master's prepared biochemist, and I have worked extensively with the HIV virus tracking genetic mutations. So I feel very comfortable going toe-to-toe with some of these doctors here, although I am not a doctor. I'm just a nurse. But what we saw in these front lines, we knew what was happening. And when we asked for the ibuprofen, they said, no, it was contraindicated. When we asked, like, why aren't we giving them steroids? Oh, well, it's not. We're just following orders. Following orders has led to the sheer number of deaths that has occurred in these hospitals. I didn't see a single patient died of COVID. I've seen a substantial number of patients die of negligence and medical malfeasance. When I was on the front lines of New York, I'm unfortunately known globally viral as the nurse that was in the break room sobbing, saying that they were murdering my patients. The pharmaceutical companies had gone into those hospitals and decided to practice, I guess you can say, on the minorities, on the disadvantaged, on the marginalized populations that we know that we had no advocates for. Because the very agencies that should have been protecting them were closed because we were sheltering in place. Now, while I was there and I saw that the pharmaceutical companies were rolling out remdesivir onto the patients, I tried to get a hold of the IRBs. I tried to get a hold of my appropriate chain of command. I tried CMS. I tried Department of Health. And they rolled out remdesivir onto a substantial number of patients for which we all saw it was killing the patients. And now it's the FDA-approved drug that is continuing to kill patients in the United States. As nurses, we've collected a statistical or descriptive amount of information that you may not get from the doctors, because for more they do quantitative data, we do qualitative data with a humanistic, phenomenological approach in nursing research. And so we've collected the data from all of these patients across the country from which we have been helping patients, because I formed the organization American Frontline Nurses and the Advocacy Network so nurses could advocate for these patients. And all of this data pool shows that as these patients get remdesivir, they have a less than 25% chance of survival if they get more than two doses. Now they're rolling it out on children as well and into the nursing homes or skilled nursing facilities as early intervention, when as Dr. Pierre Corey and Dr. Merrick have already demonstrated that there are cost-effective medications out there, and we are going to see the amplification of death across our country. And we haven't even touched on the vaccines for which all of our expert panels have already very well described that situation, so I won't touch on that since many of them are by far superior to me than even I could ever hope to be. But I can tell you that 2 days ago, I flew out my first 10-year-old with a heart attack, and I had to fight the doctor in the ER because he's like, 10-year-olds don't have heart attacks. And I argued back and forth for 30 minutes to force his hand to get an EKG to find out that he had almost a complete STEMI, which is ST elevated myocardial infarction, for which you could see it lit up on the 12-lead EKG. And he's like, well, that's not possible. And I'm like, well, he was just vaccinated yesterday. It is very much possible. At any given time, people are getting a hold of me and the nurse advocates at American Frontline Nurses to help advocate, because as you've seen, there is victim shaming that, it's anxiety, oh, it's this. But in actuality, if they put down that it was a vaccine injury, the physician, the corporation, the hospital, the clinic, they actually won't get reimbursed, so it gets labeled as anxiety or neuropathy or Guillain-Barré syndrome, when in actuality, it's very realistically a vaccine injury. Now, I'm not, even though I founded American Frontline Nurses, I've traveled extensively to South America, India, and South Africa, working in hot zones, stopping the spread of the virus, and working with early intervention. And nowhere in those countries, in developing nations, do I see these issues that we see here in the United States. It's actually, I'm a very proud American citizen. I come from a family of immigrants, and my mother told me that the United States is the best country in the world, though granted I am biased being an American. And our level of healthcare has been deteriorated to substandard third world nation healthcare, whereas I tell people you are better off in South America in a field hospital than you are in level one trauma designer hospitals in the United States. As nurses, we are getting reports across the country from our American frontline nurses about patients not getting food, patients not getting water. How come a patient hasn't been fed in 9 days? Why do I need to get a court order to force a hospital to feed a person who isn't intubated and who's literally telling you they would like food? Oh, well, you can't take your BiPAP mask off. Well, that's what us nurses are for. We're going to help you take that off and we're going to help you eat, but we're not allowed to. If you know, if they're on a ventilator, they're not getting basic standards of care. I've had patients that haven't been bathed, haven't been fed, haven't been given water, haven't been turned. And if you ask me, this isn't a hospital. This is a concentration camp.
That's right.
Absolutely it is. Nowhere in the United States do we isolate people for hundreds of hours at a time with no human contact. It's not even allowed in the prisons. You are not allowed to isolate a prisoner for beyond a certain sensitive amount of time because it is horrible for their mental health and is considered inhumane. However, in these hospitals now, we're allowed to isolate patients from their families for days, and you have to say goodbye to them over an iPhone, as Jennifer Bridges has just demonstrated to us, or she has to shuttle people in to see. And personally, I was fired for sneaking a Hispanic family in to say the last rites to their family. And so thank you, Senator Johnson, for giving nurses the opportunity to come and represent our patients, because as you can see, we're not often thought of as leading professionals, though we are the missing link between the doctors and the patients. So thank you so much for this time.
Okay. Thank you for being a nurse. All I can ask is the viewers to share this. Tell your friends, I know this is long. This is a 5-hour long panel. And we didn't even scratch the surface of what we need to discuss. This shouldn't have been necessary. As our information grew, as we became better and better educated, less ignorant about the coronavirus, COVID, the COVID vaccines, this should have been made public every step along the way. But it wasn't. So again, I'm just asking the viewing public to have an open mind, respect these individuals who have paid a significant price professionally, reputationally.
How many of you in this room, recognizing there are doctors, there are PhDs, there are attorneys, media experts, other scientists, public citizens, how many of you personally have witnessed censorship, intimidation, or professional reprisal and damage as a result of your advocacy for patients? I want this to be recorded. That is 80% of this room have experienced something negative in their life in trying to promote and help compassionately something positive for patients suffering with a potentially fatal illness.
I'd like to start really quick with a story. So a high-risk individual approaches me, 50 years old, obese, type 1 diabetic, calls me, I have COVID. This was about a year ago. What do I do? Help. Help, I'm going to the ER. My oxygen's 86. I have excruciating pain in my lungs. So I said, you're going to the pharmacy. Don't go to the ER. I called in some early treatment medications of the drugs which shall not be named. Said individual calls me a couple hours later and says, you know that excruciating 9 out of 10 lung pain? It's now 2 out of 10, 6 hours later. Well, I know the mechanisms of the medication I prescribed. A few hours later, in the next morning, he calls me. He says, you know that oxygen saturation of 86, it's now 98%. I said, isn't that fantastic? Early treatment works. That individual is my brother. I am my brother's keeper.
This warning says, FDA cautions against the use of hydroxychloroquine in outpatients outside of the hospital setting. But then, in the justification, it says, we base this on information to treat hospitalized patients. Hospital disease, as we'll hear, and as we know from 2 years of dealing with COVID, It's a completely different illness treated with different drugs, different medications in the hospital. Outpatient disease is flu-like. Hospital disease is a florid pneumonia. And so the fact that the FDA would base recommendations and warnings on hospital disease, which is a totally different disease than outpatient disease, is a fraud. This website is still there today and constitutes an outright fraud. Again, I'll point out there's so much we don't know. I would have liked to seen a much larger dose of modesty coming out of our federal health officials and the legacy media and big tech when it came to, we would be so much better off if there was robust debate and discussion.
I have to say, I'm going to call it out, and I'm known for this. I call it like I see it. I'm calling attention to the corruption. If you look at these innumerable failed policies, there's only one way to understand them. They are literally written by pharmaceutical companies. Almost every single policy serves the interest of a pharmaceutical company. However, if you look outside the United States and look around the world, there have been numerous successes. As one of the world experts on ivermectin, let me just talk about some programs which used ivermectin. My colleagues here, as Dr. Risch just pointed out, there are a number of compounds that we've identified that are effective in early treatment. Almost all of them are repurposed or generic. But let me just say a few words about ivermectin and what it's doing around the world. Not in the United States. In the United States, it's a horse dewormer, it's horse paste, and only the illiterate, ignorant, and or unvaccinated use it. That medication has been shown to literally solve the pandemic in numerous regions around the world.
And as time went on, they were told in no uncertain terms, if you use these drugs, you probably will be fired. And nobody had to tell them. They're smart people. You don't have to draw a map. Why is an ophthalmologist treating? Because patients were languishing at home. And I've treated over 1,600 patients because patients were languishing at home with no treatment for inflammation, with no treatment for respiratory distress, with no treatment for blood clotting. It's absolutely absurd, and I wasn't going to let it happen. And I think, as you see in this room, all of us feel the same.
Are African Americans, are they denied early treatment in the community?
Well, yes, they are. My dad just died. Right? He died Friday. Couldn't get a test. Couldn't get monoclonal antibodies. We treated him at home. Unfortunately, we had an oxygen machine that didn't work. So his blood saturation went down to the point where he was incoherent. We called the EMS. They said, your problem is your oxygen machine doesn't work. They put oxygen on him. He went to 98% saturation. We moved him to the hospital. He recovered all his cognitive functions. He was doing quite well. But he was no longer getting medications that reduced his inflammation. He was no longer getting medications that blocked the histamine response. He was no longer getting the medications that he needed, and he was no longer getting lung steroids. And he just declined and declined and declined until he passed away on Friday. And I say he passed away from lack of appropriate care.
So in the last 6 months, I've really evolved into a early treatment advocate. I've used a combination of medications, and up until recently, I was using monoclonal antibodies, and sadly, we can't get those anymore. I just hear so many stories. At first, it was, you know, my PCP won't see me, so they came to see me in ENT. I became the PCP. Now it's people are terrified to go to the hospital, so I've become the emergency room. I'm giving high-dose IV steroids. I'm giving, you know, 25 grams of IV vitamin C, but I am keeping people out of the hospital, and I've kept over 2,000 people out of the hospital, and if you look at current statistics, 20 of those people should be dead, and they're not. So, and the turning point for me when I really got angry was a patient that his wife reached out to me. He's trapped in the ICU, father of six, sheriff's deputy, refused to give anything. But, you know, these hospitals give them low-dose steroids. They give them 6 milligrams of dexamethasone, you know, 3 times a day. A lot of these hospitals won't even give breathing treatments. It's ridiculous. They won't give them the vitamins. I mean, and so basically she called me in desperation, and I testified. She sued the hospital to try to get her husband the medications he needed. I testified, we won. the hospital refused to grant me privileges, even though I have a spotless record. And I was furious. That's when it all changed for me, and I became, I became thrust into the public because of Methodist Hospital. But it's just, you know, I've seen a lot, and I'm angry, and I'm exhausted. I mean, I have one hospital I can send patients to that I feel safe to.
Some of those heart-wrenching stories I'm hearing where a loved one's in the hospital, and the family's begging the hospital to do more, trying to save the person's life. And they're just being told, now your loved one, there's not much hope. You know, get ready for the worst, and they just won't do anything.
So the question is, why? Why have cheap, safe, and effective drugs been ignored for the treatment of COVID-19, which could have saved maybe 500,000 lives? And I think Dr. Khoury has told us exactly why.
I want to talk about medical ethics, because I'm concerned that many of our pandemic policies have ignored foundational principles of medical ethics. We effectively abandoned patients that were suffering from other conditions and had other medical needs. The disastrous fruits of this myopia include an unprecedented 40% increase in all-cause mortality among working-age adults 18 to 64 over the last year, most of which, two-thirds to three-quarters, depending on the state, was not related to COVID. Actuaries tell us that a 10% rise in all-cause mortality is a once-in-200-year disaster. This was a 40% rise.
In my opinion, we should not have politicized the public health response to SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19. This is a bipartisan issue, and the physicians represented here are truly a bipartisan group. I'm not, although I've been characterized as a right-wing Proud Boy, I've previously supported both President Obama and President Biden's campaigns. But the course of events have forced me to rethink a lot of my positions, and I think that's the case with many of my peers. If I may quote, in May of 1995, Nelson Mandela said, "There can be no keener revelation of a society's soul than the way in which it treats its children." In my opinion, our public policies in managing this have had a particularly strong adverse effect on our children, and vaccine mandates for our children are completely unjustified at this point.
So my friend called me a week ago. He said, watch this new movie. It's called Don't Look Up. And I told him, listen, I don't need to look at this movie. I've been in this movie for the last 2 years.
We have better treatments, and we should be investing in research to continue to improve our treatments and strategies to make sure that we have treatments available everywhere where someone vulnerable especially gets sick. If you put these strategies together, our society can continue to function in a much more healthy way than we have functioned these past 2 years, while at the same time working to protect older people. The strategies we followed, basically by ignoring the possibility of early treatment, by not focusing our efforts on the protection of vulnerable populations, and worst of all, these restrictions on human behavior, on human connection, have wreaked enormous damage. And it's far past time that we stop those policies and instead followed an alternate plan.
So Dr. Bhattacharya was joined by colleagues from Harvard and from Oxford and put together the Great Barrington Declaration. I'm pretty sure they published that in, I think it was October 2020. We've since seen emails between Dr. Collins and Dr. Fauci, head of NIH and NIAID, basically with a concerted effort to reputationally destroy Dr. Bhattacharya and his co-authors. Now, I'll ask the listening audience, does that sound like a crazy individual? No. Sounds to me like a highly qualified, very reasonable person, as we've assembled in this room.
One worry that public health officials have mentioned is, well, if we acknowledge that natural immunity is a reality, which of course it is, and it's It's been it's epidemiology and immunology 101. They're worried that people would go out and deliberately get COVID rather than getting the vaccine. But of course, the issue around acknowledging natural immunity is, what about the people who already have had COVID? That's what we're talking about here, right? And we can give people advice on, you know, avoiding infection and so forth. But ignoring all the folks that have already recovered from COVID is not a good public health policy. This acknowledging natural immunity would lead to the next very basic question: how many people have it? And the fact that 2 years into the pandemic, we still do not know exactly how many Americans have had COVID is it's an astonishing failure of public health to do basic epidemiological research. The two most basic facts that every medical student learns first about every new illness that they learn about are incidence and prevalence. How many new cases and how many total cases over a given period of time, right? One very important fact about natural immunity is that there has not been a single reported case of someone getting reinfected and subsequently transmitting the virus to others, which we know is not the case for vaccines. Vaccines don't offer against COVID that kind of sterilizing immunity. So we FOIA'd the CDC and said, please show us any evidence of someone with natural immunity getting reinfected and transmitting the virus to others. They couldn't come up with any data. We actually put that in our lawsuit. The university's experts could not come up with a single counterexample. It's a very dangerous thing to say, right? Because almost nothing in medicine and science is 100%. You can always find outliers. But natural immunity, people with natural immunity are the safest people to be around. You're not going to get COVID from somebody who's already had COVID.
So we are seeing actually the vaccinated carry a high volume of virus because they don't have the secretory IgA. So this false construct from our federal agencies that this is a pandemic and the unvaccinated are spreading is a pathophysiologic lie. The vaccinated are carrying high volumes in their nose, their tears, their mouth of virus, because the vaccine does not neutralize in that location of the body where the virus comes in. So this is very important. This is why mandates are absolutely now moot, irrelevant, and out the window, and need to go away worldwide like most of the world has done already. This is the funny uncle. This is not SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19. This is COVID-22, meh.
Yeah. Zero randomized controlled trials that show mass stop the spread